commands of our Lord. Luke chapter 6, command. It means to order, to dictate, to make a decree, to demand, a command. The commands of our Lord. Beginning at verse 32, Luke chapter 6. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do love or do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Notice verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For what the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of being able to be together around the Word of God. And Lord, as we had the prayer requests a few minutes ago, we ask, Lord, that you would bless each and every one of those who had a request, be they spoken or unspoken. Lord, we ask now that you would have your hand upon us. Bless us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Notice a couple of thoughts here before we get into the different points that we have. We notice that it says give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together. Ever buy a bag of potato chips, and you get home and it seems like the bag is half empty? Do you wonder who took your potato chips? You open up your favorite box of cereal and you pull the bag apart, hoping not to rip it because you want to be able to put it back in so it's sealed. And your life cereal or Cheerios or whatever it may be seems like someone's already beaten you to part of it. What happened? Well, in transport, it shook, didn't it? And it moved down. Well, it says here that when you give, it's going to be as if it's been shaken and refilled and shaken and refilled, because God is a greater giver than us. And may I say this, that there is going to be a double blessing. Number one, you cannot give God. And number two, when we get to heaven, we'll be honored for what we have done. And I just thank God for those of you who give to the worldwide mission outreach of the Covenant Baptist Church, and you give support to the Covenant Baptist Church. Thank you so very, very much. But number one, repent. Repent. Take your Bibles, Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Repent. It is a change of mind to regret past actions with a desire to go in a different direction. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you've ever had to repent, but I know I have. I remember one time that we were camping, and I was going through a campground faster than I should, and this man ran out and began yelling at me, and I knew I was wrong. And so I politely said, "You're right." Not. I don't know what it was, but I ripped into him like, you know, mind your own business. And that bugged me for hours. It bugged me. And so I went back to him and I pulled into his campsite. And he had this look of utter fear, like I was going to step out with a shotgun or something. But I said, sir, I said, I was wrong in what I did to you. I should not have been driving like I was, and I shouldn't have yelled at you. You know, sometimes it's sure good to get that off your chest, to repent, and to do what is right. Luke chapter 13. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. A change of mind, realizing that what we are doing is wrong and we're going to go in the other direction. One time I was talking about repenting, and I said, it's a 360-degree change. That's how most people repent. 360-degree turn will do what? Keep you going in the same direction. No, it's a 180-degree change. Going in the opposite direction. Number two, we are to believe. We are to believe. John 3, verse 16. I know that the majority of you can quote, you probably all can quote it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believeth in him should perish, but have everlasting life. Should not perish. Verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. To believe means to accept as true or trustworthy. To have faith in. To give credence to. The other day I bought a can of green beans. You know what I thought was going to be in that can of green beans? Green beans. See, you believe it, right? You believe that's what you're going to get. I mean, wouldn't you be totally disappointed if you opened that can and inside were peas? No, huh? Well, I would be totally disappointed. And the fact is this, we need to believe what the Bible has to say. We need to believe Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As I've said before, the God of John 3:16 is the God of Genesis 1:1. We need to believe that he did create the worlds. We need to believe in marriage. God talks about marriage right from the very beginning, that a man and a woman. We need to believe that in God himself. We need to believe in the Bible. We need to believe the gospel story. And we need to believe this, that one out of one dies, and we need to be prepared to meet our Maker. We need to believe. Number three, love. John chapter 13, if you would, please. John 13. We'll begin reading at verse 34 and then also 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Love, passion, to cherish, devotion, to have affection for, to treasure. We are to love one another. A godly love. A love that is unconditional. But that's awful hard, isn't it? Unconditional love is very difficult. Most of us love when we're being loved. Most of us love when people are giving us things. But you know, the opening text that we read, we're to love those that even don't give back. We're to love. Love, Jesus said, and that we're to love so that others will know who we are. Number four, we're to follow. We're to follow, if you would, John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 36. It says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. To follow. If you look it up in the thesaurus, it means to acknowledge one as the leader. And Jesus Christ should be our leader. It means to accompany, to serve. We are to go together, even as Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? We are to follow him. We sing a song that talks about following him down in the valley or even to the mountaintop to follow during the difficult times and during the good times. So we are to repent, we are to believe, we are to love, we're to follow, and we're, number five, to abide. To abide. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Sometimes remaining true is not always easy. To remain loyal. To abide means to stay with, to remain, to endure, to remain faithful, constant, and or steadfast. To abide. May I encourage you that are married to abide by that one that you love. But John 15, verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Jesus was saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Was it going to be easy for the disciples to stay true? No. Many of them were martyred for the faith. And for the first 300 years or so, Christians were persecuted wherever they were. And we find that sometimes it was very difficult. It was an attitude of staying close. Is it important to have the right attitude? Yes, it is. To have the right attitude. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. This morning I heard someone talking about being faithful to the Cubs during the hard days in which they went without winning the World Series. Someone would say it's like being faithful to the Detroit Lions today. I understand they were shut out today. Didn't even score. Not even their field goal kicker could put one through the uprights. Boy, it's hard to remain a loyal Lion fan, isn't it? Many of us are fair weather fans. How about those who were servants of the Lord? How many of them are fair weather? When everything's going well, well, fine. But if something goes bad, well, why, God? You know, do you ever find it interesting we never blame Satan for the bad things that come our way? We always want to blame God, but to abide. Number six, tarry. Tarry means to wait. One of the hardest things for some people to do is to wait. They're always in a hurry to get things done. And sometimes you have to wait. And Jesus told his disciples to wait. Notice in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high, when the Holy Spirit would descend upon them. But waiting for the Lord sometimes can be difficult. Sometimes we are in such a hurry. We blame God because things don't get done. You know how I know we blame God because things don't get done? Because every Baptist preacher struggles with it. Every Baptist preacher wants things done and they want it done now. And sometimes it's hard to wait. We become impatient. And when we become impatient, we become irrational. You say, never. How about when you're out on I-75 and the freeway shut down because of an accident up ahead? It's awful hard to be patient, isn't it? But to tarry, we need to be willing to wait. And number seven, what do you think would be the last one of seven things? Can you think of it as you turn to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19? What do you think it would be? To go. Yes, to go. How often have we heard this verse read? Not only at mission conferences or even on a Faith Promise Sunday, but as a pastor speaks about the need to take the gospel. Go. Notice what it says in verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world. Go. It's one's testimony. One's testimony. Would you take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 10? Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 37, the story of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus has just given them the parable. And then in verse 37 it says, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. And then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Go. Pastor David Isminger II, wanting to plant a church in Minnesota. Brother Reed, wanting to be a missionary to Thailand. Brother Parkus, wanting to be a missionary to Siberia. Brother Davis, wanting to be a missionary to India. Jonathan Milsland, wanting to be a missionary. Where is he wanting to go? There, to the Philippines. Missionary Carlo Pinto wanting to go to Brazil. The Parnell family wanting to go to South Dakota. Caleb Feeling wanting to go to England. The Simmons family to Uruguay. You say, Pastor Paul, what are these? These are men and women who want to go, and they've contacted our church over the last few months. Brother Gonzalez, Uruguay. The Tarwaters, the Philippines. The Bartels, Siberia. The Pullmans, missionaries. Well, let's see, I can't see. Oh, for bearing precious seed. Got this colorful one the other day from the Von Bergens, wanting to go to the Middle East. We just, of course, had Seth and Michaela wanting to go to Russia. The Wilder family wanting to go to Finland. Oh, you say, Pastor Paul, are you about done? No. The Irvin family to Uruguay. My mistake there. The Kotvis family wanting to go to Peru. The Hessel Schwartz family wanting to go to East Africa. Here we have Rob Robindu wanting to go to Nepal. We have the Butlers to Brazil. Here is the Terran family, Uruguay. The Hoffmans wanting to go to New Zealand. The Stalcocks wanting to go to the Muslims of New York City. You say, are you done? No, I'm still getting it. These are people who have contacted us wanting to go. We have the Belcher family wanting to go to Guam. We have the Arstied family wanting to go to Haiti. The Greater family wanting to go to Mexico. See, one of the problems of being a pastor is you have to tell these people no. Tell them no. How are they going to get there? Go. Go. The Lord's cry is that souls are saved. His desire is that men and women need to know about Jesus Christ. Someone has to go. Which means someone has to what? Send. So by sending, we're going. Yes? I want to thank you for giving. Now, I know that it's impossible to give to every missionary. I'd like to be able to give to more. Pastor Stephen mentioned that this morning in Sunday school. The fact of the matter is, the command has never changed to go. Shall we stand together?